It's been one of those weeks, and I can sense it with things and people that we're talking to. Not only are things going on in people's lives, but we're busy, and we're always jetting to one area or something else. And some of you know, this week it just seems like it's been a week where a lot of us have lost a loved one in some area of our life, whether it be cousins or longtime acquaintances. And if you follow me on Facebook, you saw that this week a young man that was in my youth group 28, 29 years ago, in his early 40s, passed away and unexpected, kind of got complications from pneumonia. He did have some lung issues. The only thing that you can hold on to is the memories and the times that you had with someone. You can't get those back. Do you know what I'm saying? There, I can't go back to Stevie and say one more thing that I wish I would have been able to say. You have to accomplish that while you're with someone. There's, you know, whether it's your cousin or a loved one or an acquaintance. And I realize that we're going through hard times. I realize that we're going through busy times. And I know it seems like lately I've been saying it a lot, that the Sunday school message moves right into the sermon, and it does. And that doesn't happen by coincidence. I think Fred made a great point this morning. He said that if and when that happens, you definitely ought to be listening to what God says, because He has something to say. When the Sunday school lesson moves into the sermon, or things of the week leads into the sermon, where you get an answer to either prayer or direction, you need to be listening, and it's not by coincidence. This morning I want to take time to look at the life of Joseph and the trials that he went through for God to get him to be the man that he was. And the trials that he went through to get him to be in the place where God could use him. Say amen to that. Sometimes we forget that. We only center in on, you know, bad things right now are happening to us. Why is God letting this happen? But God's building us into the person that we need to be. God takes those bad circumstances and puts us into position to be used at the right time. And anybody besides me ever ask, why does this stuff keep happening? Why does this keep happening? When is this going to stop? Have we ever got to the breaking point and you said, I can't take any more? Or uttered the words, nothing good could come out of this, yet somehow down the road you find that God did something amazing. In a bad situation, made it good. Something good came out. Of course, we've all been there. We've all used those phrases. What? When we're in the midst of a storm. Say amen. No, nobody says, oh God, why does this keep happening, when we're blessed to where our socks are coming off? Nobody says, oh, just stop. Stop blessing me. I can't take any more. It's usually when we're in a storm. I believe Joseph is really one example of God making good coming out of something bad. You read chapters and chapters and chapters of things that this guy just gets bombarded with, and his family gets bombarded with, you almost think it's a plot for a movie. You look at Joseph's life, it would make a great movie. It has everything that it would take to make a good movie, from the times that his brothers plotted to kill him, and they were really jealous of his love that he had for his daddy, and they yelled out, here comes the dreamer, to the time that he was abducted. They were ready to kill him, and you know, they abduct him and send him off to Egypt to be a slave, and you think, well, that's bad enough. Pharaoh gets him, and his wife seduces him, and then when he says no, which is the right thing to do, she accuses him, all but rips his clothes off, and then accuses him of doing these things, to the point of being in prison and finding favor with all the prison guards, and everyone's in there, and he blesses those that are in there. He becomes a witness to some and helps some get out. And he says, remember me, and they don't remember him. And all of these things, spending years in jail and prison for a thing that he didn't do. To me this morning, I sit there and I think either God's got a bad sense of humor or he's got a plan. Say amen? Either God's got a bad sense of humor or he has a plan for us in those times. I choose to believe God's got a plan, don't you? As bad as some of that seems, and I would believe that he has a plan. And not only does he have a plan, but I believe it's God's best. I believe it's thought out. And even though sometimes we think we're on plan B or C or D or E, God still has it out for us that he's going to accomplish. And we see in Joseph, we see in Jeremiah this morning, we see in Isaiah, we see in Moses, all of the people that God used that all faced trials and felt like God was turning his back on them. They find out later that God never turned his back on them. He never turned away from them, but he was going to use that and use them, and he was there all the time. Say amen. How many have found that God, when you think, and they use this morning too, that you think God's not listening, and then you find out that he was all the time. Or that in that quiet time, be still and know that I'm God. In that quiet time, he's preparing you for something that he has for you later on. And if you don't get that lesson, then you won't be in the right position to be used of God later on. Amen? Father, as we just take a moment here, I'm asking, Lord God, because I sense that you're already doing something in people's lives, and those that were sitting under Fred's teaching this morning already got a bit of the lesson. So we definitely want to grab on to what you're saying to us this morning. Use these truths to encourage us. Use these truths to make us the men and women that you want us to be. Help us to be in a position to be used. Help us to be a witness. May this morning our hope be strengthened and our faith, though sometimes stretched, would be used in a mighty way for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what makes the Bible powerful? And I think the world misses out on it. It's not that God doesn't want us to find it. I believe that it's just because we refuse to look and believe it. The Bible is powerful because it will convict us. We don't like that, but it's convicting. It draws us closer to God. It allows us to see sin for what it really is. It allows us to know that there's a God that cares about us. So it works us towards, and in our convictions brings us closer to God. The power of the Word of God equips us. The power of God brings wisdom to us. The power of God can change our lives. And the power of God can bring comfort and peace to us. And the world, in all their sense of trying to find all that they're looking for, seems like the very place that they can find it is where they don't look. And God goes to a lot of trouble to show us that he desires to have a relationship with us. Amen? He goes and makes the effort to make sure that we understand it. He doesn't only want us to know him, he wants us to have a relationship with us. He doesn't only want us to know of God, but he wants us to know God personally. And my question is, how do you imagine God this morning? Someone that keeps you safe, and if you're not always safe, you wonder where God is. Someone who supplies all your needs, so if you have any needs right now, you're feeling like God has abandoned you. Someone that would do only what you ask him to do, the kind of the genie effect, bail me out here. Someone who gives a lot of rules and takes all the joy that you think out of your life. What kind of God are you serving this morning? What kind of God are you looking for this morning? The Bible is the written word of God. Each example, each parable, each illustration, I believe, is a reflection of what God is wanting to do in our lives. And he wants to establish this relationship with you. I love what the one commentary says this. It says, we can learn Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic so that we can read the Bible in its original language. We can study and practice archaeology so that we can recover and understand more truths about the civilizations with whom God dealt with in the past. We can study every bit of data there is to know about God, His church, and His word. But if we do not know God, we've accomplished nothing. So for all of you that are staring at me and wondering why I didn't go to a text this morning, I think to grab on to the meaning and the thing that God wants to say, I'd have to stand up here and say, let's turn to Genesis chapter 39, 40, and 41 and begin reading. Because the whole point with Joseph is an extended period of time. If you just take it when he's in turmoil, You'd miss the overall thing. If you take it to where he's being just a blessing to a whole nation, you would miss the whole thing, because to get the whole story with Joseph, you'd have to read the whole story, the whole illustration, the whole deal there to understand. You have to understand that we must see relationship, that God desires to have us know him, knowing that even when we go through trials and suffering, he hasn't turned his back on. He needs us to know and see his nature, that we don't turn our hearts and our backs on God, but we turn our backs towards the things that take us away from God. Amen? That's to understand God's nature, to understand his attributes, that we serve an all-powerful God, and to see him as a holy God, and still trust him, that his words and his love for us never changes, that we can know him personally. That's a separation from a lot of people today. They know of God, but they don't know God. So when they go through all of these trials, they go through heartaches, and they go through situations that cause them hurt, instead of running towards God, they run away from God. And if you understand this, you will understand more better the situation sometimes we go through. Instead of standing there this morning and say, I'm glad that didn't happen to me, you begin to take a look at it and you say, if God did that for him, he does it. He can do it for me, because he loves me the same as he loves him. Do you get it this morning? There's a big difference in the way that we look stuff. Instead of just thinking, I'm glad that didn't happen to me, we understand that if God can bring him through this, he can bring us through this. If God can do that for someone else, he can do it for me. And if not, I still will serve him. Reading a biography of Hudson Taylor this week, he opened up the missions in China, and he says these words. I love it. He says, it's not easy to keep first things first and make time for prayer. Yet without this, there cannot be failure and unrest. The soul that is starved cannot rejoice in the Lord. Did you get that this morning? The soul that is starved cannot rejoice in the Lord. Taylor had learned that there's no substitute for real spiritual blessing. There's no substitute for spending time with God. There's no substitute without opening up our hearts and allowing God to minister to us. He goes on to say, I saw him and I sought him and I had him and I wanted him. Is that your heart this morning? Is that where you're at? And even though you're going through something, King David says, my soul thirsts for you. My soul shall be satisfied. And I'm asking you, are you satisfied? Are you thirsty? Are you wanting more of God? See, Hudson Taylor, King David, Joseph, they all learned the lesson, no matter what you're going through, that you won't be satisfied with anything less than God's best for your life, even if right now you're going through a hard time. See, if you look at this, Joseph had the unbroken fellowship with God. His circumstances kept changing, but his relationship with God was constant. He had fellowship with God. When he was a favorite son, he had fellowship with God. When he was going through the things that he went through, he had fellowship with God. God communicated with him, and he sought out and wanted God to reveal things to him. He grew up with a vision that God was changing his life, changing his future. He grew up understanding that circumstances can change, but God was constant. He became a slave in Potiphar's house and later a prisoner in jail, but he still had fellowship with God. It was what saw him through. It was the only thing that saw him through. God was with him all the time. Say amen to that. You got to understand that God is with us during those hard times, even though we don't sense it. When there's quiet times with God, doesn't mean that God's not working. I believe at those times, I believe God is working harder and ministering and trying to bring about his will in our lives. So here's some things this morning I believe that we can take away from God's word. And if you want to write it down, you can. Number one is this: favor with God is more important than favor with men. Amen? Favor with God is more important than favor with men. Genesis chapter 39, I knew you'd get there, right? Genesis chapter 39, verse 6. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns has been entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph had favor with God because he understood that even though people didn't see him, he was still going to be favor. And that he had favor with God no matter where he was, in his father's house, in Potiphar's kingdom, or in prison. He realized that he was going to serve God. He had favor because he was in a relationship. It wasn't based upon the circumstance, whether he was going through a good time. How many know that there's a lot of Christians that love God when everything's going good? And when things begin to tighten up, or they get to have a few struggles, they pull away. He saw disobedience to God as sin, and that he was willing to be faithful. I had a pastor friend this week share a story, and it kind of broke my heart. He shared a story as he began to tell a story about his daughter and her disabilities. He told of struggles in ministry. He shared that it seems like he was always pushing a boulder uphill. And he began to tell that story with his brother, who's another minister. And I believe that God gave him words at that time, because he said in the midst that, he says, God must be mad at me. Now, this is a minister. How many know that sometimes ministers can get discouraged? How many know that they go through the same things as everybody else? And he shares this thing. He goes through all of this, you know, disability with a child, you know, the ministry he was struggling with. It always seems like he's pushing uphill against odds against something else. He says, God must be mad at me. God must have abandoned me. God must not trust me. And his brother, I just love him to death. I believe that the word that he gave him was a word that came right from the heart of God. He says, it's not that God don't trust you. It's that God can trust you with that suffering. Do you see what there's the big difference there? He's looking at it that he must have done something wrong and that God don't trust him. But he looked at those situations and he said, no, it's not that God don't trust you. It's that God can trust you through that and make a difference in that child's life. Number two was Joseph was faithful. Genesis chapter 39, verse 4, Joseph found favor in the eyes of the Lord and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Joseph could be trusted when no one was watching. He never questioned whether he was doing the right thing, because the right thing was to serve God. The right thing was to be faithful. The right thing was to make sure that he stayed in a constant relationship with God. Joseph may not have known his future at that time, but he knew who held his future. He never lost track of who was his God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of some things. Am I just speaking to myself this morning? But how many know that those times that you just feel like God has turned away and not listening, or it's dark, you're looking for answers, you're looking for a sign, you're looking for something to change, and at those dark moments, you wonder where God is. It's the time that our faith gets stretched, isn't it? That's the time. They used to call it pressing in. The old Pentecostals and the old Wesleyans and all have a thing with prayer, and that when you don't hear from God, that's the time. Not only do you not run away from it, you press in. And you stay at the altar of God. You stay there until God gives you an answer, and you allow him to speak to you. The Lord sometimes blesses others just because of you. Amen? I know a lot of people that have been a blessing to me and have mentored me and have corrected me at times when I needed it. Number three, Joseph was forgiving. Can you think of anyone else that would have more right to say, well, I deserve not to forgive. I deserve to be mad. I deserve not to have anything to do with them. Here was a guy that begged his brothers not to harm him and send him off, and they did anyways. And he told Potiphar's wife, he said, no, I can't do this. It wouldn't be right. And he did the right thing, and he still got into trouble for it. And he still went to jail for it. And they didn't believe what he had said. And in prison, he seemed to be forgotten. He interprets a dream and basically sends one free and one dies. He says, remember me. I'm the Lord gives me this. Remember me when you go before Potiphar. And you think you're doing a good thing, and you think people are listening, and you think people are watching, and then 2 years go by that he spends in that prison. Very easily could be distracted and discouraged and wondering where God is. He chose to forgive, and he chose not to let bitterness eat his life up. Amen? He was not going to let resentment eat away at his heart, but chose to keep his eyes on God. Hatred, envy, temptation, prison, lying, gossip, all the things that make a good movie, he wasn't going to let in his heart. He wasn't going to let that ruin his life. It wasn't going to let it pollute him. I've seen a lot of people that have let all of these things, they may be right. They may have a deserve to do that because somebody has done something again, but they're the ones that are suffering. They're the ones that are going through it. They're the ones that have the heart that's eaten out. They're the ones that aren't hearing from God anymore because they're so wrapped up in bitterness. Joseph chose to forgive so that God could use him and move him on. Number four is Joseph had the Spirit of God. Amen. Now you stop and you think, oh, well, Pastor, now don't forget, on Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit fell. I want you to know that guy had supernatural anointing of God. You can say whatever you want, but he definitely had God working in his life. The Spirit of God didn't fall yet. Pastor, and if you just look at this, you know, when they wanted to use a prophet, the Spirit of God fell on him. Well, let me tell you, it fell on him real good because God used him. He did supernatural things. Say amen. We need supernatural things to happen. In our day and age, we need supernatural things. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to not be working in our own strengths, but in God's strength. He didn't think of a whole way to save a nation by himself. God gave him that. I believe that with all my heart. He did not forgive his family for doing the things that his family did to him without God's help, without God giving him the anointing and the power to do that and get past the abuse and the misconduct. It took courage and it took God's anointing. And he didn't practice integrity like that without God's help. We live in this world. We cannot survive in it without God's help. Amen. People look for integrity. People look for ethics. People look for character. And without God's help, we won't be the light that we're supposed to be. They call people heroes who run into buildings and run towards hardships and make hard decisions. I believe it's supernatural. I believe God gives that. Because it's not in a person to run into a fire. It's not in a person to stand up in the midst of being shot for their faith and say, I will serve Jesus without God's anointing. We can't do those things without him. That was forged in us because of our relationship with God. Not knowing of him, but knowing him. And as we close, I think we need to go to the very last chapter in Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, and we'll wrap it up here in just a minute. Verses 15 to 21. Genesis 50, starting at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they've committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Amen. What if Joseph would have held a grudge? Well, then God couldn't have used him. What if he would have wanted to play God? Then God wouldn't have been able to use him. And I want you to know that if you want to live the life of Joseph, you have to serve the God of Joseph. Amen. We'll never see God do what he wants to do in our situations until we let God play it out, until we allow God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in our lives. We're called to be different. Amen. We're not called to be like the world. We're called to be different. We're called, the Bible says, peculiar, oddballs, whatever you wanted to, we're to be different. But Joseph said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended to use this." See, there's a lot of voices today giving us instructions. But the voices that I hear most of the time, they're giving instructions, but they're not living it out. Be careful what you're listening to. God is looking for a few to stand in the gap. My closing question to you is, what is God speaking to you this morning? Is he asking you to be more Christ-like? Is he asking you to be more involved? Is he asking you to be more sensitive? Is he asking you to do a check on your time that you spend with him? Only you can answer that. Or maybe, just maybe, maybe God's trying to tell you how much he loves you this morning. And change your life forever. If you live it and you believe it. He's offering us peace in a troubled time. And he's offering us that if you're really going to serve God, it's not going to be easy. You can't do these things by yourself. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. I believe that it applies to each and every one of us this morning. We want to say we're all like Joseph's, but as soon as we start going through some hard times, sometimes it gets a little rough and we get a little thin in the faith. I'm asking, Lord God, that you would First of all, allow your anointing to fall on us fresh and new every day. That as we not only just sing these songs about God, you working in our lives and set us on fire, and we go out and to make an impact and hit the highways and the byways. But Lord God, first let revival start in our hearts. Begin with us, Lord God, so that the voice that comes out is we're living our faith. And people see that we're living our faith. And then, Lord God, we're asking you to do some amazing things. We again lift up the back to school bash this next week. God, would you do something amazing in hearts and lives? As those young people come in, may they sense your presence. May there be preachers, teachers of your word. May there be husbands and wives that will serve you in areas that only they will be able to go. We never know what you're going to do. Pray that we would be doing what you called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.